we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Father, I ask that you would be with those that are working, with the children downstairs, Lord, that you would bless that time. We thank you for your word that is being spoken over them, Lord, and we just ask for protection and that you would move upon them, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you call deep unto deep, that, Father God, you call us into a deeper understanding and revelation of who you are. So, Father, I ask that you would guide us this morning as we get in your word, that you would move upon us, Lord, in the way that we would see clearly the things that need to be addressed in our lives to align us more in alignment with you, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the one that you've given to come alongside us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. I ask that you would guard my lips and still my mind. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1. In the last couple weeks, we talked about, first 2 weeks ago, we talked about anxiety. Last week, we talked about contentment. And we can't have either one of those things without understanding the spiritual battle that takes place over our mind. So I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 18. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of the people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human, from birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sensual desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a reprobate or depraved mind, so they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, and insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but approve of those who practice them. I would say that's a lot like the world today, right? But the key word I want you to think about is, because we're talking about the mind. That's where all the battle really starts in the first place. Now, there's a spiritual war going on in the world today, but we underestimate the battle that's over our minds. What do we think about? If you spend a lot of time working alone, you would find that your mind is your only companion. You will think about things, all kinds of scenarios, relationships, situations. You could give your mind in any direction, And how many of you know that where we set our mind usually will dictate the outcome of our actions? Because it starts in our mind. How you think about yourself is how you are going to treat yourself or believe you are. If you don't think that God has created you in His image, you don't think that God has a purpose for you, you will be in a state of constant depressive, you're down and out, things are never going to work out, things aren't going good. If you give yourself over to these things, we know what that's like. If you worry, as we've been talking about, anxiety, things that are outside of our control, you know, the anxiety comes from not being able to control situations in the future and an outcome that we don't know. It produces in our physiological body stress and anxiety. But our mind is the most important thing that we need to come underneath the government of the Spirit in order to understand how to live a life away from anxiety or live a life not feeling constantly down and depressed. To actually understand peace that it says in the Word, to take that promise as it says in Isaiah, that He will keep him whose mind is stayed on Him, God, at perfect peace. So when we look at that, there's a few patterns that we need to see. We need to understand the battle of the mind the way it is. In Romans 1:28, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile, in other words, they considered it. They're not saying that God is necessarily isn't real, but it's not worthwhile for them to retain it. In other words, they know truth, but they don't want to live it. Maybe it's the idea that I can live however I want and come to God on my deathbed. And I'm not to say how far God's grace does and does not go, but I'm telling you to understand and know who God is. The truth is, there's that decision that has to be made, and it has to be clearly made. They were wanting to have a little bit of heaven, if you will, but still keep their feet in the earth and give themselves over to their desires. And he made it very clear. We live in a world today that is very pagan in its nature. I would say earth worship, climate change, global warming, whatever it is now. We gotta save the earth. Almost to the point that it's like worship. It's being indoctrinated and pushed through the systems in the world. This fear, this constant fear of how if we don't make changes, the whole world's gonna fall apart. But none of it ever dresses the heart of mankind. The Bible says the man, our hearts are desperately wicked, who can know it? But yet we think we have the ability to solve world's greatest problems without God. And that's the situation that we live in. We live in a world that if I told you 10 or 15 years ago that we would live in a time where people would say there's more than two genders, you wouldn't believe me. But now if you speak against that, like I am right now, it could cost you. If you say, I don't want to go with the flow, I don't see the science behind that. However, just because you disagree, you are an enemy. Isn't that just exactly how the world is? It's doing what the world does. The world is fallen. But God has come into the world to save the world, and He sent His Son, amen? So think first in Romans 1 where it says they deliberately dismissed God. Now we're going to go to Romans chapter 7, verses 23. 7:23. Paul is talking about this war in his members. In other words, he knows what he needs to do. He wants to do the right thing, but he doesn't always do it, right? So starting in verse 1, 7:21, he says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind. And making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now down in verse 8, I love this. I'm going to finish. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. There is that. When you give your life to Christ, you know, when you say, I want the Lord to come into my life, you begin to see the things that you're not supposed to do. And we always think about sin as just, you know, the really bad ones. Sin in its translation is missing the mark, not living the life that God has called you to live unto him, right? He who knows that which is good to do and does not do it is sin. Is there anybody in here who's not a sinner? So we're all in good company, right? So we all know what that's like, that inner war. And Paul is making a clear distinction here. Paul, the apostle who planted most of the early church, has the same thing. He gives us this hope. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned the sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile, or another translation of the word is at enmity with God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so, and those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. In other words, the mind that is governed by the flesh, the person who has not made that decision that they want a renewed mind and a new life, if they haven't made that decision, it's impossible for them to please God. It reminds me of the scripture in James. If you remember James, what does it say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't have the one foot in and the one foot out without causing chaos in your life. Jesus has already done the work. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He's given us the freedom. We are viewed through the blood of Christ as new creatures. But the problem is, a lot of the time, people don't live and walk in that new life because they keep dragging the old one with them. They only pray when they need something from God, or they only call out when they're in a hardship. They don't practice the mindfulness of seeking God and setting their mind on the things of the Lord. It's in our minds that we make that change, amen? We talk about the power of perspective. How you view things will usually dictate how you act. Would you agree? That's why we need a new mind. If you're filling your mind with the things of the world, that's all that's going to come out, is the world. Problems you can't fix. Situations you've never had control of in the first place, but somehow you've given a lot of energy and time to let the world know all about it. You might post it on Facebook how you feel about the politics of the world, because that's where you're setting your heart and your mind on, not on the things of the Lord. And don't think it won't harm you. It says a double-minded man is unstable in not just some of his ways, but in all of his ways. A mind governed by the flesh. Now, Paul has even mentioned that he knows that he's had that. But it's a recognizing it, and it's changing, and it's having a renewed mind. Turn with me now to Romans 12, verses 2. Therefore, I urge you, verses 1, I'm going to read 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I know a lot of people are like, well, I just want to know what God's will is for my life, Pastor Sean. I don't know what his will is. But yet they are willingly living and doing things that they know are contrary to the word of God. You're not going to get to know what the will of God is. It will be closed off from you because of the choices you make out of God protecting you, because to whom much is given, much is required. When there's a deeper revelation and knowledge of who God is in your life, guess what? You don't get to go back and pretend you didn't receive it. You're accountable to it. Why do you think so many people say, yeah, I'm a Christian? Because they went to some church stuff when they were a kid. They heard some scriptures. One, I'll tell you, God's word doesn't return void. A lot of those people will believe, maybe they said that prayer, and somehow, but they know, and when the going gets tough, they'll call out or they'll show up maybe 30 years later. That's how the word of God doesn't return void. It sits in the hearts of everyone that hears it. But there's a difference that happens when we make a decision to truly follow him and have our mind changed. I need my mind changed. The things I think about, the things I want to do, you know, I know are not healthy. I don't want to view the world in my own eyes, the way I see things. I don't want to view people on the other line, other side of the line politically, the way my mind views them, because I don't see them created by God, right? I need the Holy Spirit. Is that a harsh, horrible thing to say? Right? I need Jesus. And I say that to you because we live in a world where the devil is a liar. He is not just a liar, he is the father of lies, to give you a picture of that. He is the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren. None of us could outwit or outlie him, just so you know. He's got you pegged. He knows your buttons. He is an enemy, and he likes to bring dissension. We live in a broken, fallen world. There is no virtue signaling, anything you're going to do to change this world apart from Jesus Christ. Secular humanism will not do it. Why can't we all just get along? Because the heart is desperately wicked. That's why. We might do good things. We might help out over here. But it doesn't change the core issue, which is the heart that needs to be saved. People calling out to God saying, I want to be accountable. I know I'm accountable. I want my life to change. There's a difference. When you do unto others how you would want them to do to you, not because you expect them to do it, but because you do it unto God. It's a difference. It's not a business transaction. It's a relational transaction you have with the Lord, and you do it to please him. It doesn't matter if they say thank you. There is a difference from what the world offers and what Christ has done. And I look at that because it's true. There's a lot of places won't even read the scripture I started with this morning. And that's not to pick on anybody. All sin is sin. Sin is sin. It separates us from God. Whether you're having premarital sex, whether you're a homosexual, a lesbian, whatever you're in, whatever that world is, you're an adulterer, you're having an affair, whatever it is, those are all sins, and God sees them the same. Sin is sin. Right? Hate the sin, love the sinner. I'm not picking on anyone. I was born into sin myself. I was born to be selfish, lustful. I was born to be prideful. It's in my nature. That's why I need that renewed mind, so I can live differently, accordingly, so the fruits of the Spirit can come out and not shine. So when I see these things, do not conform to the pattern. The Bible tells you the world has a pattern. Do not conform to the pattern in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We need to be able to test and know. The pattern of this world, you could see, is a prevailing mindset and values that run contrary to God's ways. It's mostly self-centered, materialism, pride, lust. Again, we live in a world today that anything goes. Whatever you feel like, as long as you're happy, be true to thine self. That statement, be true to thine self, is in the heart of occultism. Aleister Crowley said it, but yet it's on all kinds of secular songs. I noticed something the other day that shocked me, just to show you the pattern of the world we live in and after how it's after your children. You might go, I know that, Sean. It's worse now. I come across a cartoon. It's free on Prime Video. I'm not going to tell you the name of the cartoon. Please don't look. Just trust me when I tell you. And it's an adult cartoon, but it's with all the other cartoons. And the core of the story is about how Lucifer was a dreamer. He was a dreamer, and God and the elders of heaven basically didn't want him to dream, and so they banned him because he wanted to see the goodness in humankind. In other words, it's flipping the script on everything that is biblical with a story that is completely unfounded, where basically it's like Lucifer's the good guy and God is the bad guy. If you remember, there's an Old Testament scripture. I can't remember the place, but I can quote it. There will be a time when they call evil good and good evil. This is the time. This is the time. That's why it's important that you understand who you are in Christ and who has your mind. What do you think about when you are alone? What do you think about when you are at work? What overcomes your mind? When it talks about this in the scripture where it says a renewed mind, it says that's a complete overhaul, a complete new way of thinking, and it can only come through giving our life to Christ and even recommitting our life to Christ and saying, God, I want my life to line up with your word. We are also called, if you would turn to me, to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 10. Paul is defending his ministry in chapter 10, in the sense that a lot of people probably know of his past, but also Paul was so influential in the early church that people were coming in after he would come and plant a church and stay with them for a while. He would go on in his missionary journeys. There was three. And he would go, and as he moved on, someone would come in behind and start to agitate the church, if you will. They would bring in things that weren't true. They were bringing a spiritual attack against the work that God was already doing in these people. And so Paul would have to remind them and encourage them. And he gives a great way of how him and with a pastor's heart does that. But he says, I beg to you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold. This is in chapter 10, verses 2. I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some who think that we live by the standards of this world. In other words, there's that commingling, if you will. There was the compromises that were coming in and being made. Well, yeah, you could serve God, but you could do a little pagan on the weekend. And I'm not exaggerating. You know, the heart of Gnosticism is that, and this is why it was so dangerous. The heart of Gnosticism, I believe in God. I believe in God. My spirit is renewed. I'm going to be a new creature. They'll say that, but they're saying my body is evil. All matter is evil. All matter is evil, so what I do in my flesh to please myself doesn't matter. It's separate from my spirit. You see how that's a dangerous way to think? In other words, you could do whatever you want with no accountability. They're trying to set it up that way. Now, we know there's accountability, but that was kind of the false teaching that had started to infiltrate the church. Don't think it's not in the church today. You know, a lot of churches, when I say churches, denominate, whatever, there's that infiltration that happens. That's why you need to study to know the word, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. I would not want to ever mislead you, But if you think I say something that doesn't line up with Scripture, I expect you to confront me and ask me about it. And I am open to that. Amen? Towards some who think that they live by the standards of this world, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captivity of every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. When you look at that, every pretension, that's any lofty thing that sets itself against the knowledge of God, any philosophy that tries to come alongside Christianity in your walk, anything that you would choose over your walk with God, any philosophy that doesn't align with the Word of God. Those are lofty strongholds. And he's reminding them, hey, we're not battling. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Do you see? That's why it's so dangerous that we allow the news, the media, whatever, to divide us, because that's the whole point. Our battle is not against, it's not a us and them. It's the spirit behind it. Right? When we stop looking at people as people and more as the enemy, we have lost. It's the spirit behind that attitude. Would you agree? I mean, I can tell you, you want to see I don't allow the news in my house for a reason. I don't believe half of it anyways. I don't know. I don't have enough information to know what to make a right decision. And I'm sorry, they've lost all credibility to me. So why give them my time? Because then I'm just giving them my money. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I know the condition of the world. I know it's political isn't going to save it. It starts with us and our mirror and where we live. And who are you and who do you work with? And do they see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? If you died, will they know that you loved God? Or will they know more about your political view? And I'm saying, I do believe, you know, you pick the lesser of two evils. I'm just saying I see a lot of Christians get all fired up about stuff that they can't even control, and they're not talking about Christ, and I do it too. I purposely don't want to know what your political views are in this building. You know why? Same reason I don't want to know what you give or don't give, which I don't know how much any one of you give to this body of Christ. I don't. I don't want to know, because I don't want to think about you differently. I don't want to know your political view, because then I might view you differently. And I don't want to do that. Does that make sense? I'll give it to God, but I'm trying to give myself some accountability and some boundaries, because you are a child of God. And Jesus died for you just like he died for me. And I want to see you that way. I don't want to see you through the guise of Facebook or whatever else you're posting on. Was that a rant? Also, in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I mean, it's clear. That's why we need to know our mind is important. Your mind is the place that you can commune with God in your relationship with him, but you need to have a renewed mind. We don't want to we want to cast down everything. And when you say take every thought captive, well, how do you do that? How do you take every thought captive? I'll give you a practical way. When you study the Word and you've been in the Bible, you generally know a lot of what it says. So when a thought comes, you're going to know right away whether or not it lines up with Scripture. Okay? I'm going to use a real, you know, silly example. Well, God wants me to be happy. Well, what does that mean? You mean in your flesh? Because we know that doesn't line up with the Word. You having a bad day and you think it's your spouse's problem? Right? How do you view it? Have you looked at yourself first to see how you're contributing to the situation? Have you looked in the mirror and seeing if it lines up with the word? You guys could all look at Galatians chapter 5 and know we're all supposed to have that in our life. That's a given. In fact, write that down if you don't have it written down. You should memorize it because you'll know when you're not doing it. And that's a place where we come into repentance and say, God, I want to change this part. We cannot change ourselves. It's a yielding to the Holy Spirit that brings the change. It's a submission. And you know what? It's hard when we get older to submit. Pride gets thicker. But when we submit and remain humble, we are pliable in the hands of the Master. And He changes our life. He changes the way you think, the way you view people, the way you live. He will teach you to honor a woman and love her, or you to honor your husband and love him. He will teach you how to be the man or the woman that you were meant to be, in alignment with him for his name's sake. So I tell you this, this is in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. A new attitude. It's actually that translation. The last one I read was more for the mind, a whole overhaul of the way you think. This is more in the attitude of your spirit, because in the word attitude there, it is pneuma, and it is the spirit of the mind. We get a new disposition spiritually. When we give our life to Christ and we've repented, and I found in my life that I know that disapproving function of the Holy Spirit. You know what that is, right? You sense that in your heart when you give your, no one's raising their hand. Either you're bored of what I'm saying, or you really don't know what it's like to feel convicted. Anyone in here feel convicted? Okay, better word to use than convicted. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, right? But it's a small voice. It's not really loud. And whether you listen to it or not will determine if you continue to get to hear it. I think after time, our heart hardens, we can't hear it. But when you're seriously honest and you say, as it says in the word, you want to seek the Lord with all your heart, body, mind, soul, and strength, you're serious about it, the Lord has it, and he'll say, in my own life, there might be something, okay, I got fired up in my car, said some things I shouldn't say. You might think, well, Lord, I know you forgive me. I have to actually, I'll feel a wall in my walk. And I'm like, do I really gotta get on my knees and repent for that? Yeah. Sometimes the Lord's like, yeah, get on your knees and say you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. He already knows, I know, but there's something about being repentant. Now, truly repentant means to change the way you think, to turn around and change. Every once in a while, we might have a hiccup. We're not to stay in that area. We're to move on. But you still have to get to a place of humility and repent, or we won't hear from God. You know that, right? If you're having a hard time hearing from God, or you're like, I don't know if the Bible's always making sense, you got to ask yourself, have you really made that decision to have a renewed mind and give your life to Christ? Or is it fire insurance for you just in case? Just in case what the Bible says is true, I want to cross my T's and dot my I's. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We need the Lord, amen? I know I need him. I'll tell you, I need him all the time. So one of the ways that we do this before we do communion, and I want you to hear it, it's in Philippians 4, chapter 4. I read it last week, but I'm going to read this right here. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Does that mean there could be negative things to think about, but there's no fruit from that? This is what the Lord tells us. This is the antidote for us to think, well, these are the things we focus on. It doesn't matter if those other things are happening. This is what we choose to align our mind with. Amen? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it in practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. It was Isaiah 26:3 that I quoted earlier. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And Psalms 1 even says it, blessed is the one who does not walk in or step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law, the word of God, day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever it does, he prospers. Think about that for a minute. If we meditate, regurgitate the word over and over again, there will be fruit in your life when we align our mind with Christ. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? When we get ready to take our time of doing communion, I will say it to you again. And I will read this to you just so you know. In the Corinthian church, there was an issue where they were coming together and communion turned into more of a disrespectful party. People were drinking and partying or becoming very cliquey on who they would have communion with. And so they didn't realize it, but they were bringing judgment on themselves, and some of them were even sick because of the way they treated communion. So when I tell people, hey, you don't need to feel pressured to take communion. This is something you willingly do because you want to make your life right. You confess the things that God has put on your heart that you need to change. Confess your sin. Then you come up and you take communion in remembrance of what Christ has done for you. It's not something that you do because you might feel like no one's judging you. Okay? There's people that love the Lord, and until they have to do something, they don't take communion, and that's okay. So don't do it out of a religious obligation. Do it out of reverence. Amen? So this is a time, as she's playing, you're going to think about the things in your heart that you know the Lord might reveal to you. Maybe you're anxious. You got to give him that. Maybe you have unforgiveness. Maybe you have been lustful. You've been prideful. You've been arrogant. You haven't even considered God lately. You haven't considered his word worthwhile in your life. Those are all things you confess to him. And then you come up when you are ready, as the ushers and the elders come forward, you come up when you're ready, you take the elements, we'll take them together. If you haven't given your life to Christ, you don't know what that's like, a lot of this won't make sense to you. It says the word of God is spiritually discerned, and that means that you can't understand the depths of what he has or his revelation without first acknowledging that you are a sinner and that you are fallen and that you need him in your life. And you say, God, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin to you. I ask Jesus that you would come in my life, change my life. Help me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. You do that with an open heart. You do that where you're sitting right now. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and begin to work upon you, and you will begin to see things anew. You will begin to change your life in a way that not only glorifies him, but brings you that peace that you're looking for. It's not a religious thing. It's a relational decision that you make. Will you give the reins to Jesus in your life today? You do that right where you're sitting. You confess your sins, ask him to come into your life. And if you did that, then I welcome you to come up and take communion. If you want prayer, you want someone to pray with you as you do that, we're here to do that after the service. But you prepare your heart right now to come when you are ready, and we'll take it together. Amen. Took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, "For this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "For this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you've made, that you knew that we couldn't be righteous on our own. So, Lord, you sent your Son to come and die for us, Lord, to give us a new life, a new relationship with you. I thank you that, Father God, you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move upon everyone that is here today as we even go from this place, that we would be a light. Those who do not fully understand or grasp, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would go with them, and that, Lord, you would speak to their heart and reveal yourself to them in a way that only you can. Lord, I thank you for your precious promises. I thank you that we have everything we need in this world, that, Lord, you will keep us at perfect peace, regardless of the circumstances, when our mind is stayed upon you. So we give you our minds this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. May you go and be a blessing. We're here to pray for you if you need prayer.